You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm your host, Danica Ellis. This is episode number 453.5, and today I'm going to talk about a couple of books about queer history. One is an actual history book, and the other is a kids' historical fiction graphic novel. I feel like queer history is so important, both in terms of historical fiction and actual history novels, because it's been so suppressed. And I think a lot of queer people have taken in this idea that being queer is a recent invention and that queer people didn't exist until like the 80s, which is obviously not true, but it can be really hard to find queer history. It's something that often has to be excavated, that was talked around, or that was actively burned or buried or not written down. So it makes it harder to find, but it also makes it so great when you can find it. I think that discovering queer history that wasn't known before is always such a fascinating thing to find out about. So I am interested in queer history. I would love to learn more. There's obviously so much out there. Last year, I got to read a lot of queer history books because I was a judge with the Lambda Literary Awards in the nonfiction category. But before I tell you one of those that I want to recommend, I first want to give a shout out to the In the Club newsletter. So if you want to make your book club the best club, you should sign up for In the Club newsletter, which will deliver recommendations for the best books to discuss in your book club, but also book club friendly recipes and interesting bookish updates. You'll get recommendations from buzzy new releases to brilliant throwbacks, and have some great ideas for how to have the best book club discussions. And if you become a paid subscriber, you get more recommendations plus community features. In other words, we'll keep you well met, well read, and well fed. So visit bookriot.com/intheclub to sign up. That's bookriot.com/intheclub.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
So of the books I read for the Lambda Literary Awards, one of the ones I really liked is The Women's House of Detention by Hugh Ryan, which is a deep dive into the history of the Women's House of Detention in Greenwich Village, which is something I had not heard of until I read this book. And it was a jail/prison for women and transmasculine people that ran from the 1920s to 70s. And a lot of the people held there were queer. Obviously, it being in Greenwich Village, it was really associated with queer women. And actually, the author argues that Greenwich Village partially became known as this queer hub because that's where the Women's House of Detention was and not the other way around. Each of the chapters of this book covers a different time period, and it does that through telling these individual stories of the people who were imprisoned at the Women's House of Detention. And it gives you a really interesting look into what was happening at that time, especially for queer people. And that I found really fascinating. But a lot of what I liked about this book wasn't even about the queer history as much as it was about abolitionism. Because watching this particular prison/jail, because it served the purpose of both, over the decades, you see how any attempts to reform it only made it worse overall. So you would have these temporary changes where they, say, add a hospital and they tear out a bunch of cells to make room for this hospital. But then after several years, the funding isn't there for the hospital anymore. And they end up just basically making that hospital into cells again, but now it's much worse conditions. And now there are more people per cell because there aren't enough cells anymore. And you see this cycle happen over and over again. So the first time the prison was built, it was made with smaller cells so that prisoners could have more privacy and there would only be one person per cell. But then very quickly, it wasn't one person per cell anymore. And now you just have tiny cells with a lot of people shoved into them. So watching that happen over and over again, I think really drove home the point that this is not something that changes, that is fixed through these basically band-aid approaches. Like, this is something that needs to be fundamentally changed. So I really liked getting both the queer history side of it and the kind of prison history side of it. It was absolutely fascinating. It's a really easy to read in terms of it's not super academic, but there is a lot of research that went into it. So this is one that I highly recommend, both for the subject matter and for how accessible the writing is, for it being a history book. So even if you, like me, don't casually pick up history books, I highly recommend this one. And that is The Women's House of Detention, A Queer History of a Forgotten Prison by Hugh Ryan. And then I wanted to talk about a historical fiction graphic novel, which is The Legend of Auntie Poe by Xingyan Kor. And this is a middle grade graphic novel about a queer Chinese American girl's life at a logging camp, which I think is a part of history I don't see written about a ton. This is 1885 Sierra Nevada, and May is the daughter of the camp cook, so she helps out in the kitchen sometimes, and she spends a lot of time telling stories for the other kids at the camp, especially about Po Pan Yin, or Auntie Po, who is kind of a Chinese-American matriarchal version of Paul Bunyan. So May loves telling these tall tales, and she is best friends with B, who is the foreman's daughter, and pretty obviously also has a crush on B. This is a book where the queer content is, you could say it's subtextual, it seems pretty obvious to me, but it's not the focus of the story. One of the things that's more in the foreground is the constant hum of anti-Asian racism. So all of the Chinese workers eat separately from the other workers, and May is keenly aware that she has been separated from her culture. She doesn't know her grandparents. She is kind of losing her Cantonese, and she feels out of place. She doesn't feel completely accepted in like white American culture, but she doesn't feel as connected to her Chinese culture anymore. And that's where Auntie Po comes in, who kind of blends these two cultures. And as she goes through more difficult times, May starts to actually see Auntie Po, and that is a source of hope for her. And it's also left a little bit ambiguous of whether she actually exists or not. There's also this ongoing dynamic between the two families, the Foremans and her father's, and how even though they're theoretically quite close, there's always this division because of their races and their financial realities and how much B's father's status affects them and how little power May's family really has. I also really like the illustrations. They're sort of a watercolor style, at least part of it. I'm always bad at trying to describe artwork, but I think it's beautiful. This is a really thoughtful look at a topic that I feel like isn't talked about a lot in terms of US history. So I highly recommend it. I think it's really beautifully told. And it's almost a slice of life story in a way. You get a really good sense of these characters and their relationships with each other and the setting. It's not as much plot focused, but it is very absorbing. And I can see why it was a National Book Award finalist. It's a really beautiful book. And that is The Legend of Auntie Poe by Xing Yin Kor. That's all I have for you today. Thank you so much to our sponsor. Thank you to our audio editor, Caitlin Bram. And thank you for listening. For more recs or general bookishness, check out bookriot.com. And don't forget to check out our full stable of podcasts at bookriot.com/listen, or just search Book Riot on your podcast player of choice. You can find a list of the books I mentioned today in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And if you're a fan of all the books and all the backlist and you want to show us some love, please leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. We sincerely appreciate your review and they help other book lovers find us. If you want to find me, you can do that at lesbury.com for my sapphic book blog, or you can follow my Book Riot newsletters, Our Queer Shelves, and Read Harder. And in the meantime, happy reading!